Just hang on. The APA front, White Beach Park, actually, downstairs. I will briefly talk about the Iran Kalamal sitting status, where we are, where we are going, what we are missing, what we want to do in the future. So I'm John Blaise, I'm working at Red Hat on the desktop engineering team. So first of all, I will talk shortly about the Kalamal sitting stuff, then I'll talk about the Iran chemical processor and the state of stuff. That is mostly designed for doing gallium stuff. So, first of all, the Kalamal setting is the biggest Linux driver to my knowledge. It's 70 good line of code. It's 10 bigger than the Intel Kalamal setting driver. And before, I did just a quick survey inside the Linux kernel, cutting the number out of code. In the directory, and as far as I can tell, we're the biggest one, by a large or large margin. Intel is likely among the 10 top biggest driver inside the kernel. We're supporting more than 9 different GPU family, going back for more than 10 years, I think, or 8 years, something like that, maybe 10 years. From R100 up to the R600 and the IP stack. So whenever you see errors, it's IGP, so it's mostly what you get in your laptop or embedded on the motherboard, in integrated IGP on motherboard. In each of this family, there are several different revisions. So for A100, you get for 200, you get several different A200, for 300, you get several different A300. And in each of these ASICs, you got performance, you got differences inside the chipsets. On the memory control stuff, on the girl stuff, on the CRTC stuff, on the output stuff, on the encoder stuff. So you got a bunch of differences between each of these sub different ASICs inside of each of the sub family. So this is why your run driver is the biggest driver. You got many, many things to do with. It took approximately 1 year to write it. I did write it starting last year, so 1 year later, here we are. I did work before that one, which was the one which is open. I did work 2 different Kalamal today for Raiden. They have worked with the other one, and finally we did manage what we did to get this one. So it's basically the work of 3 people in all the literature. On this kind of stuff. So, 3 people working on a really, really big driver. That's quite a lot of stuff. It's not the trophy yet, but it's still working on that. One of the stuff also is that the GPU is really messy because your BIOSes want to mess with it, your GPU BIOSes mess with it, the ACPI stuff mess with it, and there's other stuff that can mess with it. For instance, when you're changing the brightness on a laptop with your screen, with your key to change the brightness, it's often ACPI stuff which is doing that. And some of the time, it's trying to tap inside the GPU, and it gets messy because we reprogram the GPU in different ways than the BIOS people did things that we will. So we don't do it right from this, so we kind of have a bunch of ACPI to that. Anyway, we need to work on that. And most of the time, most of the bugs come from such kind of stuff. It's really painful and hard to develop because most of the time you need to actually have the hardware, what's the best. So it's mean having all the laptop with a random GPU in it, or having all the motherboard with integrated GPU, or having all the board with the GPU. Actually, I got many applications, so it took me more than 2 days to test all my GPU on a kernel. Nowadays, the GPU is one of the most complex pieces of hardware that I'm aware of. You got a memory controller, you often got a command processor, so command processing is basically your spaces or the 3D drivers in command to be a GPU, and the command processor is just here to translate that in a restore write or something that the GPU will understand. You got clock stuff, you got word, so you got this a table for address translation, you got EPL stuff, so stuff is mostly to bring a clock to match the video mod you're trying to do. You got all the LODA, all the encoder, all the STVM, HDMI, ports and stuff like that. Well, there's many, many little blocks in the hardware. What gets messy often is that initializing of all of them, the order in which your initial stuff can be tricky. Most times you install the block and memory controller first because it's what you need to start running the GPU. But then there might be subtle order issue. For instance, you need to install the girls before initializing any other control stuff like that. But it's kind of messy because some of the time the bugs can only happen on one network that we don't own. This is a rule. And yet we own, we don't have bugs on them because we fix that. But we got a few loads that always have an issue because we need to move some kind of an adjacent deployment to another part of the GPU.
So, can you speak louder, please?
Sorry, yeah, I will. So this is really complex. We have many issues with the ordering in which we initial the GPU. We need to be very careful. Whenever we change one thing to fix one user, we often break the stuff for another user. So we got many, many if-else switch stuff inside the driver, and it's quite awful. We're trying to find a way to have a better design for this, but it's mostly cleanup stuff, and we will really do that in a couple of releases, maybe. We got time for that. So the new features that you might expect in the next kernel is support for unmappable video memory. So what happened nowadays is that you got the PCI bar. So basically, it's a Windows inside the video memory you got on your GPU. Nowadays, you got GPU with 1 gig, 2 gigs, or even 4 gigs of memory. But you don't want to waste all the PCI address space for that. So you need, most of the time what happens is that you see only half of your video memory if you've got many of them. And why can't we only use what we can see through the PCI address space? So we want to be able to use the invisible from CPU point of view video memory. For that, we need just to do some kind of tricks inside the memory manager stuff. It should be really doable. We're also, while doing that, we're also wanting to clean a bit of the memory control in each session, and that's why it's taking a little bit more time than we want to be. Well, we also have irrogan support in the next kernel, hopefully, or what should really happen. So it's R800, all the HD5, X6 GPU stuff. We will likely also switch to more advanced power management stuff using the power management API that the kernel is providing. We got a bunch of issues because we're not exactly using that interfaces yet inside the kernel memory, kernel monitoring stuff. We will also have more advanced power management. So what are we working on? It's mostly being able to unclock the GPU. A little bit like what we're doing right now, what Linux is doing right now with the CPU. So it's done clocking quickly and often the GPU to save power and upclocking it whenever you have really something to render when you are in, I don't know, when you switch a frame with campus and use your dead GPU or something like that. HDMI audio for R700 and R800, they're a little bit different than R600, so we need to get new patches for them. AlphaGand is working on that, so we should also have them in the next level. We're also working on something that should be able to help us to actually record common stream when there is a GPU lookup. So GPU lookup is when your machine freezes and can't do anything. Sadly, we have a bunch of user experiencing this kind of stuff, and it's really, really bad because all you can do most of the time is just reboot your computer. That means you lost everything that you did, so girls, so stuff like that. When you can SSH inside the computer, you can at least try to save as much as you can, but it's not, most of the time, it's quite tricky. So what wants being able to recall what kind of command we did send to the GPU that led to this lockup on the GPU. I will talk a little bit the next time about GPU lockup. There is also a bunch of cleanup we don't want to do. So from a user point of view, all this kind of stuff, you won't see it from user point of view. You will only look, if you look at a cup, you will actually see that there's differences. Well, This one you will see it, because we want to be a little bit more, adding more meaningful messages printing inside the kernel log, so people can understand what's going on and where it's from. Right now it's a little bit messy where we print information inside the kernel log. So, what's the bad issue we got with the kernel mode setting and even already on GPU, even if it's not kernel mode setting? We got a bunch of mode detection issue because in the interval or the beamer or whatever doesn't have IDID or broken IDID. Sadly, still, there are still monitor with BIOS broken IDID. That's what they're paying for us. We also got a PLL issue, especially on the laptop. So PLL is the clock that is driving the monitor signals that we send. And on some laptop, you really need to use exactly this clock. And that means that you have to come up with an algorithm that will fit. Thing is, we don't use the same algorithm as Windows because they are using, from my understanding, or because the driver is using different algorithms, and you want to use only one for the GPU. We're also working on battery suspension resume issue. We still get some of them on some laptop. So we need to fix them. We got a bunch of ECPI and box interaction issues. So mostly people with laptops that have a brightness key that leads to wake up or stuff like that. Something more painful, we got memory fragmentation. It's like a video memory. So what happened, for instance, is that you move a big texture inside the video memory, you move it out, and then you move a lot of small texture. You move out some of them, but so you end up with a gap between all the texture you put. And when you want to move back the big texture, well, you screw because you don't have enough space to move it back. One of the stuff to know is that there is no virtual memory address space for GPU yet. So what happens is that the GPU will need to have linear allocation of memory, of this memory address space. So fragmentation is really bad for us, and it's really painful. What happens if you get more fragmentation, and that the user space actually, what will happen is that common stream user space is sending, will be rejected, and so there will be a bunch of rendering issue and something will go wrong. Most of the time you will see that your server start to have corrupted fix map and stuff like that. We still get a lot of EGP rotate issue. Sadly, EGP is still around, and it's really a painful technology. There is a long list of IRTA. I don't know exactly how big it is, but no manufacturer actually want to give us to them, mostly because they don't know, they forget about it, and they don't have any more engineers that know what was the IRTA of EGP hardware 5 or 6 years ago. So it's really hard to work on. And of course, we got the GPU lookup stuff, which is hurting user battle. So, GPU like, there are still possible root issue from that. It can be timing issue with the bus, and it can be really tricky to debug. Such kind of timing issue mostly happen on embedded hardware. We got a bunch of people using the Ryzen driver on embedded stuff, and where the PCI controller is not. Well, as what they said, or working as well as on your computer. Access to a valid address on the bus, that happens sometimes. So sometimes the GPU will ask a PCI control, some kind of address, which is completely wrong. And what might happen, actually, is that on double fault on the PCI bus, the Linux kernel will shut down the CPU. That means our run. Really shutting down the CPU, that means that nothing will run anymore. You only can the computer. Invalid incorrect kernel stream, so that's what we're working on, capturing such kind of stream. But it's mostly because we don't program well. We're trying to render something really specific with branding, with a bunch of texture and stuff like that. But we forget to set one bit in one register, but something, I don't know, in-app caching of texture or something like that. And that leads to GPU lockup because the app will really need that bit to be set for working properly. We also got overwriting in GPU lookup. It's quite rare, but we're seeing some of them simply because, well, a broken fan or stuff like that, and mostly because we're lacking power management stuff. So what happened is that on Redmond Linux kernel driver, we're overwriting the GPU more than Windows is. So there's more likely issues that than Windows. We also got a bunch of GPU with bad memory. It's quite rare, but it's happened. We don't have any kind of main test for the memory stuff. That kind of thing is really tricky to debug, and when we find out that actually it's mostly due to overwriting or bad view memory, it's a relief because it's not helpful. So to fix all of this, what we want is first to be able to capture any kind of electronic control streams that we're sending. So whenever we send a volume for a stream, we want to be able to capture it, then doing forensic analysis of it. Finding errors for timing issue. So mostly it's dealing with manufacturer of PCI or IGP controller, and that doesn't work properly or doesn't work well. And for enabling any kind of access to the database, we really need to do a better testing of the memory control settings that we're doing. And I also want to understand how such kind of embedded address can actually hit the PCI bus in the end. Because the way we program the memory control right now, it shouldn't happen at all. So there's something wrong somewhere. So, the command processor. It's really what dispatch any kind of rendering you get from user space to the GPU. What it does, it read commands from a ring buffer, each entry in this ring buffer for command format or packet. I will talk about packet and the format. There is a special packet which helps to fetch command from another buffer in RAM, so it's not from the ring buffer. The bottom line of the command processor is that anything that you send to the command processor will end up to be a register of write somewhere in the GPU. It's always the case. So here is the ring buffer. So basically, you stack up command. You tell the GPU, okay, I write that much command, so the GPU will start to read them, and then you can still write to them. And when you read, you can check where the GPU is actually reading. So, for instance, the GPU is reading that instruction. You know that when you are stacking up new instruction, you can overwrite P1, P2, and up to this instruction that the GPU is reading. So it's really a ring buffer, simple ring buffer where you can overwrite GPU instructions that the GPU already read. It's not that big one. I think right now it's 1 MB of memory. That's more than enough. And so what happens is that we got special instructions that say, okay, this packet is a special packet. So you stop fetching from the ring, from this memory, and you go fetching from another place inside the GPU memory space, while there is a stack of command. That's what we use to some command from the user space stuff for the GPU. And in the AVM, everything is a register write. Everything ended up to be worked to some kind of register inside the GPU. So the packet stuff. There are 4 kind of packets. The time zero is simply write. Register, so you say, okay, start writing on this register, and then you give a list of value to work to this register, and to next register, and to next register. The type 1 is where register writes, and I don't think we ever use it, so I don't talk much about it. The type 2 is simply an operation, so it's just to fill the ring or to fill the buffer to be, I don't know, for whatever reason. Actually, we need to do that some basic to fill the buffer to be, for instance, adding it on 7 or 16 or 32 D-words. So it's mostly for fixing some kind of fetching issue inside the memory controller for this worker. Type 3, artificial packet. So mostly it will end up like the type 0 in the register write, but it's inside of giving an end of set for a specific register, you're just telling, okay, this is the opcode I want to execute, and this opcode is badly, it's gathered a bunch of information. For instance, for texture, we gather the texture size, the filter, the border color, the whatever texture you need to have a full set on this kind of stuff. For vertex buffer, it will be the address vertex buffer, the shrine, and all the information that would be useful. So in the end, packet pre router also translated into a rich write by the current procedure. What is good about packet pre is that there are a lot easier to check, and there is a fixable way of the value. So with when we get what we need to do, I'll talk a little bit later. What we need to do is in kernel, we actually look at what the user space is sending to GPU. And before sending it to the GPU, the kernel actually look at the kernel stream, analyze it, and make sure that there is no kind of security issue with it, and that the user space isn't doing anything stupid. So it's really painful, and it's actually a little bit, well, we're losing a bit of performance due to that, but I will talk about it. So here's how it works. So rendering commands, so procedure, square, whatever, GL stuff. Then there is a driver, X driver with a GL driver, or a loop driver. The monthly use, the return, whatever stuff, to just have some kind of easy to use abstraction of the kernel API. Then we use the CS, IOCTL stuff. The CS, IOCTL stuff, the path user space parameter. And then before sending them to the autonomous team to the server, very specific parameter for each of the GPU we have. So we can now pass this buffer for security and raw location tuples. Raw location is basically we don't want user space to know about where stuff are. For instance, this texture is at this address, this buffer as this address. We don't want to tell the user space about that. So what happened is that the user space is sending a stream of command and is saying, okay, this is an address to a vertex buffer. This is the unique identifier of this vertex buffer. Please, at this place in this command stream, put the address, the URL address of the command buffer inside the address, address space. This is what allows us to have a memory manager, because with that kind of stuff, the URL space don't need to know about where stuff are, and then we can move them around and show them the vertex place from one frame to another. And so the memory manager can do its job, and the user space can still work. So once we check the command stream, if the first value is simply write to the ring, special packet 3, that will say, okay, this buffer command that we get from the user space is okay, you can execute it. And the account processor will go fetch it and execute it. So the bottom line of all this is that building packets is really packing bytes and shifting and do orange stuff. It's really simple. The core driver, the GL driver, or the X driver really doesn't need to know how to do that. It's duplicate work because basically what happened, user space is packing the packet, and the kernel space is unpacketed to analyze the content of the packet. What I want to say is simply the kernel can do the packing of the packet. There's no value in it. It's really simple and it's not complex, and it doesn't need to be to be done by any kind of complex stuff. So the plan for the Gallium stuff for S6 and S7 is basically to group GPU states into pieces and try to match the output grouping. So it's mostly resolved in different states together. Try to match with the Gallium 3 states. So basically what happened in the register address space is that all the texture register, for instance, registers that say this is the border code for texture, this is the address of the texture, this is the filter you want to use for texture, this is the kind of top relation you want to use for this texture. Well, most of the time they are regrouped inside a bunch of registers, 10 or 16 of them. So they are grouped together. What we want is make a piece of them and say, okay, this is a state atom of them. You fill a structure with predefinite structure, and you just send it, and GPU can. Then the kernel can build the packet out of it. So the theory of that is that this is exactly what kernel is doing. Some of them are different kind of states, so it's about the planning Z buffer, stencil, texture, versus buffer. What happens is that B get on CRUD, so you can say that one time, and then you bind it. So you say, okay, now I'm going to draw a triangle with this texture, with this kind of blending, with this kind of stencil stuff, with this kind of Z-buffer stuff. Here are all the sets I want to render with this turning wizard. So we bind all the sets we want to draw with, and then perform on-season with binding, and unbind them, and rebind them later if you want to use the same set or rebind new sets for different kind of stuff. The idea of that is that most of the sets you use in one application, most of them stay constant for a long time. For instance, you will always use the same kind of URLs, a texture over and over in some level of game, for instance, or in Blender, you will use, I don't know, quite a lot of time. It's the same for the Z-buffer, you will use the same kind of Z-buffer, and you will only have a couple of different sets for your application. The idea of that is that it would be nice to validate ants, so to check ants and only one time that the common streams that the user space, that those tests that the user space want to set to do rendering are valid and are good, and that you can send them to GPU instead to redo it each time we send a common stream. And so once we get validation one time, we can reuse the same common stream inside the kernel and multiple times without doing the tricky and quite time-consuming validation stuff. So here is an example. So this is a privacy plot for GNOME stuff. It validates out the size of the texture, the layout. So layout is GPU specific. It can be a texture style that way versus compression of texture versus whatever. It's really GPU specific. It's an offset, it's a buffer. What kind of user is precision and all that kind of stuff for 3D texture. This is deep slice. Anyway, this is the kind of general structure that you have and what we want to directly transfer inside something for the GPU. So it's all the steps mostly look the same. So for blending, you got do you want to enable blending? What kind of blend function you want for AGB? What kind of blend function you want for alpha? What is the blend factor for a source color and destination color? All the same kind of stuff. So you see, most of the states are really a bunch of structure with defined structure. You need all these fields to actually know how you want to program the GPU. And there isn't much of them. There is one file inside Gallo. It's called pstates.h and got all of them. And it's not that big, so you can look at that. You have buffers, little bit of sand, dry, maximum edits, and process, stuff like that. So now what we want to do is that we use this structure from Gallium stuff and we try to match it on the GPU register stuff. So for instance, here are the color buffer control. So it's mostly what kind of buffer you want to write to if you want to do color comparison, stuff like that. So this name are register names that you can find in the open documentation of EMD GPU. They are the exact register name. And they match on a similar structure inside the Gallium preset stuff. But they don't match exactly. What is in the Gallium stuff? You see, you got several fields in each of their own variable. Here they are grouped together. In this one, for instance, I think there's four fields that we get from the Gallium stuff. So all you need to do is simply pack the four field of the Gallium stuff into one field and put it there. In the end, this kind of feature will be smaller than the Gallium stuff because there is packing inside one viewer, so it will take less space. And as this is a fixed feature, we always know that we will get first CV targets and CV chatter. It's a lot easier for a Gallium to actually look at the value because it will know, okay, I need to know what value is in this field and also what value is in this field to actually do a security check on the common stream to make sure that we're doing something good. So it will directly be able to look at these two value because the structure takes it. Whenever it's a common stream, there is a packet zero and it can be anywhere inside the common stream. So you have to go through the whole common stream to actually find this register. When you find it, you have to go again all from all the common stream to find this next register and you do it over and over, so basically we closing for the left and do that. So what we want is that it sets is self-contained. All information is generally provided at creation. So basically, when we create a texture, we want to be able to have all the texture information inside of it, tiling, compilation, meat map, stuff like that. We want to pair from various check. So if we got a texture, for instance, we know this is a texture that big and that big. So we know that we need a buffer that big to hold it. We want to look also if the configuration you are getting is legal for GPU. So there is some stuff you can do where you can clean up. Well, GPU specific, so it's mostly given what kind of GPU we have. But anyway, when you try to do something illegal for GPU, most of the time what you get is lookup. So we really want to check that. Once we did check this, all we have to do is build the packet, which corresponds to the set that we want to program. And then we save the packet to be able to use them later on. So this is how you want to create the this kind of stuff. You want to create it using that kind of approach. Once you got all the states you want, what you do to do a rendering. So this will be what rendering looks like. You give the blending stuff, you give the color buffer is what you are doing rendering. The color buffer control is stuff you can actually tweak on doing rendering. PA, it's for primitive assembly, so it's mostly about if you want to do a backfacet triangle, if you want to use typo, well, it's GL stuff, so it's how you want to render. For instance, we want to render a line, but three-bit line, you can do it in PA. Viewport, it's easy to understand. DB is the death buffer stuff, so do you want to use the death buffer? Give me a death buffer big enough for the window that you're trying to render. Death control, what kind of death buffer comparison you want, death buffer function comparison you want to use. This is all states specific to GPU. But if they want, once you give all that kind of states, the GPU is able to draw from the vertex before you're giving, is able to triangle, square, or line, whatever you want. So the idea is that you create each state atom one time, one point in the new driver, and then whenever you want to do rendering, you fill the structure up with all the states you want. You give, at the end, just give the index in the vertex before you want to render, and you say, okay, I want to render 10 triangle, I want to render 11, whatever, with this kind of states. So it's pretty easy to build randomly with that. And what's good about that is that with that kind of stuff, you can end up doing the same set over and over. What happens most of the time, actually, is that, for instance, you get the same kind of blending in the frame. If you submit two different common streams for the same frame with the same blending stuff, we're re-emitting the exact same blending states to the GPU. So what happens is that there is a flush in the two common stream, and we're losing time because we're reprogramming the GPU in the exact same stem it was already. So what we want is awarding to reprogram the GPU in the exact same state it was, and save some time with that. The batch level, we also do the validation and replication stuff, so it's about writing the address of buffers that we use. It will fill the common buffer, so the common buffer is a stream that we want to do. We'll use this flushing the common buffer,